Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Empower You Radio Network, and thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology, where we are tapping into the magic of the cosmos for practical guidance and wisdom, with your host, Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and numerologist.
I'm your host, Janet Hickox, and my guest today is Michael Lennox. You might remember he was with us back in December talking about dream interpretation, and today, part of the conversation, by the way, that time was supposed to be on the Uranus-Pluto square and what that meant for all of us, but we just never got to that part of the conversation because we were so excited about the topics we were talking about, and so I asked him if he would want to come back and talk about that. And so that's basically our subject today. What is the Uranus-Pluto square that we've all been hearing about for years now, for a couple of years now? What does it mean for the world? What does it mean for us? And I'll be bringing Michael in just a few minutes. But first, I want to make an announcement to everybody who's listening to Living Astrology today. And that is this. As of February 12th, the show is moving from radio to television. So Living Astrology will begin on February 12th as a television show. And you can get to that show just as easily as you can to the Blog Talk show. The only difference, and this is the big bonus for me and for you as listeners, is that when you are able to log in to the television show, you will be able to see the charts that I'm working with. So I have the ability to show you what your beautiful human design chart looks like, or whatever it is seasonally that we may be talking about, or a transit that we might be talking about. You will be able to see it. And that's been one of the things that's been frustrating about being a radio show host, is that I see this wonderful, beautiful, magical thing, and you don't get to see it. So that will be coming up on February 12th. Now, next week, February, I'm assuming I'm in the correct month here, yes, February 5th, I will have a radio show on. We'll be talking about some of the transits for February, and we'll be talking about the transition to the television show and how you'll be able to find me. So great news. It really is something I've been really excited about, and I've been trying to hold down a television show and the radio show both on the same day, and trust me, it is crazy making. I have an hour in between the TV and the radio, and I have lots to do in that 1 hour, and today was a Mercury retrograde, a bunch of circumstances that happened. My computer decided it needed a restart just after the television show. And don't ask me why, because I've restarted it twice in this week just alone for updates. And so I was grateful that it got done before time. And then just before the show, I couldn't find the connector that takes my telephone and connects it to the headset so that I can actually talk to you hands-free. I mean, just stupid little things like that that never seemed to happen to me when I didn't have TV and then radio going on at the same time. So I just want to welcome you all today, and let me bring in my guest, Michael. Michael, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, Michael.
Mercury notwithstanding.
I was going to read your bio, and I thought, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to let you speak for yourself. Tell us about who you are, what you love to do, what you're passionate about.
Let's change it up a bit. I sort of started publicly as an expert in dreams and dream interpretation with a television show on the Sci-Fi Network in 2003, The Dream Team with Annabelle and Michael. But I was already an astrologer at that time as well, and I was working my way through my master's and my doctorate of psychology. And so I call myself an ambassador to conscious mind. I'm a spiritual teacher who's also a psychologist, and I use dreams and astrology and meditation and various elements of spiritual practice to inspire people to have a more conscious experience of their life. I do this in the media, on television, on radio. I do this with books that I have. DreamSight came out in 2011, and it's a guidebook on how to consider universal language when it comes to dream interpretation. I've got another dream dictionary coming from Llewellyn in May of this year called Llewellyn's Complete Dictionary of Dreams. And there'll be an illustrated dream book probably in the next year or two. And I travel the country and do retreats and workshops and inspirational talks. And here we are today to talk about one of my great, great, great passions, which is, of course, astrology.
And that's where we have matching pictures, of course, because astrology of all types is really my passion. I was, you know, looking at this the other day thinking, you know, is it really that it's astrology that's my passion? Or is it really that I get to open doorways for people into their own psychology or their own life purpose and their destinies? And I have to admit, even though I love the tool, I really love the idea of helping people find their way through this messy life that we have. And I bet you feel the same way.
I absolutely. In fact, it is through the use of astrology that the light is. It's not the tool itself. It's what happens when you use it. And there's just nothing quite so remarkable as when you're working with somebody and they have an epiphany, or they sigh an incredible sigh of relief when they recognize that something that they're going through is actually being mirrored and matched by a cycle of a movement. And they get out of the way of thinking, oh, the planet caused that. They're just happy to see that what they're going through has some deeper expansive meaning. And then they can let go of the shame and judgment that they have, that they're doing it wrong somehow, or a terrible thing has befallen them. And they just lean into the idea of just maybe there's a greater picture unfolding here, and they can be more graceful in their journey as a result.
And isn't that just the wonder and excitement of having this kind of tool? And it's just right there for everybody. I mean, we may be the interpreters of it, but it just, there's something so wonderful in being able to open that up and cast their life in a different light, you know? And then kind of, I love seeing that light bulb come on. And it's really sort of magical. And you know, some of the things that are really magical about astrology that, and I'm sure you feel the same way, are some of these very big long-term cycles that are happening to us that, I mean, that we're part of. Let's say it's not really happening to us, but, and how they affect us, not only as individuals, but globally. And of course, right now I'm talking about the Uranus-Pluto square that is in the process of finishing up its seven? Yeah, we have one more, so it'll be seven squares.
Seven.
That it's made since 2012. So I'd love to start by giving the audience a background on what it is that the Uranus-Pluto square was all about. How did it start from its conjunction in the mid-60s and to today? And why do we care?
Well, one of the things that you said in there was about, you know, that the, you know, what I like to say is that the planets don't impact us. The planets are us. They are extensions of us. So as they move, we move. And let's talk about the notion that each planet as an archetype handles different areas of consciousness. And there's only two of them out there that have anything to do with change. And one of them is Pluto, and one of them is Uranus. And the other planets govern other elements of the human experience, but none of them govern change. Pluto governs change that happens slowly over time, irrevocably, deeply, down to the profound and cellular level. He levels a landscape and raises a new one. Uranus is the change that happens fast and suddenly, like a bolt of lightning. And when they get together, change is completely inevitable because it's change in the two ways that it can happen, slowly and fast. And when they came together in the 60s, it's the exact same sensibility as a new moon consciousness. When the sun and the moon are at the same place in the sky, the gravitational pull is increased, pulling the energy of the life force into the earth. Therefore, we plant seeds during that conjunction of energies when the gravitational pull accelerated in that way. It's the same concept when two planets are pulling on the Earth from the same place in the sky. It's a seed planting moment, and this happened in the 60s, where slow and fast change were gathered together in the same place. And look around what happened in the 60s. All sorts of movements and revolutions were taking place. The seeds of change were planted around race, around sexuality, around government, around war. All kinds of things began. And
yes.
Right now, many years later, these two planets are at 90 degrees from each other, which is just like the quarter moon when the sun and the moon are facing off at each other, not at the full moon where you harvest the benefit, but halfway there, the square between the sun and the moon is being replicated by Pluto and Uranus. In the new moon cycle, that's when the seeds that you've planted, Farmer Joe, are going to go into crises. They're going to either crack open and germinate or crack open and fail to thrive. That's the crisis of the first quarter moon. And so in the sweeping scope of great change on this planet, generational change, we are at the crisis moment where the seeds that were planted 50 years ago, some of them are going to crack open and germinate into change that's permanent and irrevocable, and some will crack open and fail to thrive. And it's a crisis moment, make no mistake about it, and we are living through it right now.
Yes, we are. And you know, it's very clear, I think, that if you only look around you, or, you know, you listen to the news, if at all, if you listen to it, you can see how that crisis is playing out in the world.
Yes.
Every day. I mean, there's something going on every day, whether it's something mean, you know, small that, you know, ends up turning into something big, or whether it's something big that we've been dealing with for a while. But, you know, what do you see as the things that sprouted in the 60s that are going to stick around with us? What do you see that, you know?
Well, when I perceive the world and all its challenges, I have a very particular vision of peace for humanity. This is personal to me. That is, I don't mean personal as in, you know, mine, not yours. I mean, my personal commitment is that we are creating peace for humanity on this planet. Now, I have a particular way of approaching this, which is I help individuals sort of calm the war inside their own psyche and find peace within on an individual basis. And if enough people on the planet do this, the peace will follow on the outside. That's my particular way. I have a friend who's an activist. Yay! I'm not an activist, right? I think we need activists, but I'm not one. I know who I am. I know what I can do. I know how I can contribute, and I do it by helping people come to peace and balance by seeing the peace that's already in existence on the inside of their consciousness so that it will show up on the outside world. And by the way, if you think it's going to happen in your lifetime, you're missing the point. We are building for our generations to come.
Yeah, for the future.
That's
absolutely
how we get around people going, you're seeing it through rose-colored glasses. No, I'm just not working for today. I'm solving today's conflicts and seeing peace in the world now so that the generations to come will get to experience something and stand on my shoulders, just as we're standing on the shoulders of Dr. King and he stood on the shoulders of Gandhi. And, okay. So when I, back to the question, if I can wrap this up real quick, is that it was in the 60s that the idea that structure that had been around for centuries could actually be changed. It was a revolutionary moment where people said, no, we question this. Remember question authority?
This is the first time generations
of structure was being questioned. And one of the things that's happening now is that the structures that were being questioned 50 years ago are beginning to topple. And I'll just give you one little example of how I know this is happening, is that when our friend Pluto, the slow, irrevocable changer, moved into Capricorn in 2008, the banks collapsed. To the day, practically, when Pluto moved into Capricorn, I think Bear Stearns collapsed the same week. Capricorn rules structure. Pluto rules change. Pluto moves into Capricorn and spends a couple of, you know, many, many years eradicating old structures so that this new structure that's emerging slowly through great calamity and change can take hold and take root. And so Pluto and Uranus squaring each other from 2012 through this year is the gear shift that is, I think, the most clunky parts of those really alarming changes that are going on.
Yeah, I think, you know, the square, I mean, the transition of Pluto through Capricorn is not over until 2023, I think it is.
2024.
So we have this long-term insistent pressure on that kind of structural change. I think Uranus comes along and sort of lights the fuse and says, okay,
yes,
we're going to do it faster now.
Yes.
We're not
Uranus
going to wait
says, let's
for another
get
100
this,
years.
You know, yeah. Uranus came along in 12 and said, let's throw a little dynamite into the process.
Yeah. Let's get this party started and, you know, rock
right.
the world. And certainly that's what happened. Now, we all have Uranus and Pluto in our own charts, and I see, even for my own self, as I look back over the course of 2012 through now, some, you know, maybe not as revolutionary of changes as what I see out in the world, but certainly it's affecting us as individuals as well. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh God, yes. I mean, you know, certainly as a depth psychologist who's, you know, a sort of grandfather. You know, perspective comes from Jung, that everything is a reflection of the collective. If it's happening out there, it's happening in here. So that means if the great change is occurring out there in the world, then we're all experiencing it on an individual level. I find that very comforting. I know that some people find that alarming and scary. I happen to find it very comforting to perceive the inside and the outside matching each other, even though sometimes those changes are enormous. By reflecting that the outside shifts and changes are also happening on the inside of me, I feel like I have a little bit more control over the scariness of my experience. I tend to focus on the inner sanctum much more than the outer. I listen to just enough news so that I can hold an intelligent conversation, but I don't get any more involved than I have to with perseverating about how awful it is out there, because that's not what I'm here to do.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's the same thing. I will listen sort of to the news only because it puts in perspective for me some of the bigger things that are going on astrologically.
Yes.
Or I'm looking for the evidence of what the astrology is showing us. And other than that, I try not to identify it and with it. And that's what I tell, you know, the people I do readings for and, you know, my radio audience, is that don't identify with the stressors that are out there, with what the world looks like, because the only way that we actually have any control over change is within ourselves.
Yeah.
And so if we're seeing revolution outside, then what is the revolution that we're experiencing inwardly as well? Or, you know, if we're seeing structures collapse, what structures have I built in my own life that are weak or need change? And that's kind of how I, you know, work with people in their own lives with these kinds of major transits that go on. But affecting us, it has been, right? There's no mistake that the world is different.
Mistake.
It's still changing. And the other thing that people tend to think of when we're talking about astrology is that once a transit is done, that it's no longer affecting us. And that simply isn't true. So tell us what you think is that this final transit of Uranus-Pluto square that's coming up in March, what does that mean for us? Because really, they're still going to be in contact with each other for several months after that even, or within orb, we call it in astrology.
Certainly, yes. It is, you know, March, the second week of March certainly has a peak sensation of energy, because that's when the math is exact. But these are very, very slow-moving planets, and so we will not necessarily experience their peak as event-oriented peaks, although there may be some March events. It is a broader energetic shift that we will, maybe the best way to sort of describe it is if you're on one of those, you know, you're like on a swing in the park and someone's behind you pushing you every once in a while. And when that push happens, you accelerate and go a little bit higher, but you're still swinging. You feel the push, But it's not like you don't go sailing off into the you know, playground from the push. You just accelerate a little bit, and then maybe you start to slow down in the months to come. So there's, I caution people to not get alarmist about the final square and look for March to be a doomsday scenario. I just don't think it's going to be that at all. I would more encourage people who are up to certain projects or intentions or visioning to use March as a momentum building experience, even if you just do it with your own spiritual practice, your own prayerful intention, you know, up the ante a little bit. If you're going to launch something, launch it in March if it's appropriate to the timing of your project. I think the most important thing to consider about the ending of the square, what I call the square dance, the seven of them since in the middle of 2012, is that, yes, Uranus is going to, yeah, right? Uranus is going to take off. And so in terms of fast change and things that happen very suddenly, the focus of that energy will continue on, but be away from the idea of breaking up the foundation so much that the structure can be removed. But Pluto will still be there in structural Capricorn, dismantling for the next 10 years. We're going to continue to see a lot of change and breakdown and challenge. This is, of course, why it is so important not to be focused on the calamity of that, because that's not going away. We still live in a world that's filled with what's arguably destructive, scary, horrible stuff. But what are you committed to? Are you committed to decrying that the world is a terrible place? You can do that if you want. Have at it. You won't be invited to my house for brunch. But if you're committed to saying, okay, what can I do with this? If the structures are changing, how can I move into this circumstance with a new vision and a new agenda and a new perspective so that long-range peace, and when I say peace, I'm talking about just serenity, harmony, happiness, joy, effectiveness, grace, ease. And for everybody, that's going to be different. But that becomes more and more possible. And I do, on a visionary sense, I think that one of the things that's starting to brew is there's a lot of movements happening out there that are separate and disparate. Spiritual centers that are popping up all over the place. Little movements that take place here or there in a city for helping people. And I think we're going to see over the next 10 years a lot of people gathering in groups and communities to do good. And it's when our friend Pluto moves into Aquarius, the archetype that rules the global community, that we will start to see a coalescing of these various fractions of groups that are here to do good and raise the vibration. They'll start to gather up and momentum will, I believe, begin to build towards something that's a little bit more unified and a little bit more effective in the decades to come. That's my desire and my intention, and I plan to be part of that.
And let's just see that happen, because that's kind of how I feel about it as well, that we're building through some, you know, right now we're through turmoil and change and transformation, and none of that's ever very easy for people.
No.
It's not easy for us as individuals, nor is it easy for us as a government or as a country or a state and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of things that have to sort of, momentum that has to push us in the direction of change. And so I think that's kind of how I've seen Uranus is sort of lighting that fire. You know, it's pushing us with momentum to change or else, right? If it doesn't, something's going to crash. But what I find interesting right now is there's a lot of chatter, and of course I'm on Facebook frequently, and I try not to pay too much attention to all the negative stuff, but there's a lot of people talking about yet another economic crash, and I find it interesting that they're looking at it in the spring and or the summer, which puts us just post the last Pluto square. What, do you have any feelings on that yourself, or any ideas
you know,
that come to mind about
I would
what that
just
might mean?
Say, what I would say about that is it certainly wouldn't surprise me. It makes sense that when a gear shift like this begins and ends, it has a lot of reverberation. And so there is certainly likely to be ripples of shift and change that happen when the square finishes itself. And economies and the structure around money is definitely something that is, I can't believe I'm going to utter these words because I'm not political and I'm not an activist and I don't take a stand for these things, but I think it's all going to come crashing down in some broad sense. You know, again, maybe not all in this lifetime, my lifetime, in the next 10, 20, 30 years, but even just looking at things like the euro appearing. I was born in 63. The idea that a unified European a currency would appear was unfathomable. If you brought this up in the 60s, 70s, or 80s, people would have laughed at you. We're way above my pay grade here, baby. So I have no idea what's gonna happen with money and economies. But just the idea that things could change that dramatically is indication that more dramatic change is likely to come. And I think that
And are we headed for a global currency, perhaps, as we get more into the Aquarian energy? I mean, and again, not happening in 5 or 10 years, but certainly down the line, are we looking at something like that?
I certainly think we had better find a way to unite ourselves globally, or we'll never make it. So whatever that winds up looking like, something that encourages cooperation and the sharing of resources so that we are living back in what was ultimately would have been a good word for it, would have been dominion. You know, we've lost any sense of dominion. We have reneged our responsibility on taking care of the planet, of taking care of each other, of taking care of the animal kingdom, of Mother Earth. And so anything that could move in that direction is certainly would be helpful. And I think there's a lot of people who are consciousness, let's not say people, there's a lot of consciousness that's steeped in the old structures that will grasp against that and will say, no, that's not how it's going to go because that doesn't serve the old guard. But one of the things that happens in all peace movements is that new generations are born. And the new generation comes up and says, this is unacceptable. This way that my previous generation said was okay is no longer okay. There was a generation that said that slavery was fine, but then a generation rose up and said, no, this is not okay, and things changed. And this will continue to happen with every generation. And so my hope is that these momentums of shift and change that Uranus and Pluto, by the way, are not creating, they're simply reflecting. They
good
are
point, Michael. Thank
change.
You for saying it that way. That's exactly right. Exactly right. Reflecting.
I'm looking very much forward to the decade or the 15 years of 2024 through, you know, whatever, 20, you know, 40. You know, first of all, it'll probably be that the end of my sojourn through here, as long as I don't get hit by a truck between now and then. And so, you know, it's sort of, and I'll be in my sort of golden prime of teaching. And so I'm excited. So here's just personally, I'm a spiritual teacher. I have built my practice over the last 10 years, and I have seen in the 3 years of the seven squares, an absolute expansion of my reach as a teacher, because I've used the challenging geometry to build my business. And so I personally see the next 10 years in Pluto in that Capricornian way of sort of grounding myself in what I'm committed to expanding how I reach people in different modalities and with different pieces of property that I create intellectually, writings, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm looking forward to Pluto moving into Aquarius because I think that's when the real fun is going to start.
And up until then, let the structures fall. You know, that they're not
sustainable.
Let
the structures fall, and, you know, I have my spiritual practice to get me through. And if there's something to be said to your listeners out there who clearly, if they're tuning into your show and they're connected to you, they understand the power and the value of having some kind of spiritual practice. And I don't care if it's yoga or dancing around the living room in your underwear. You must have something that you do on a daily basis that connects you to the life force that flows through you so that you get out of that head, that mind that's constantly chattering at you about how things are, that is irrelevant to the experience of being blissfully alive. And it's so important in this time of great change that we do this. And one of the things that I have seen with my clientele is that even though many of them have been faced with grievous shifts and changes, I have seen more spiritual awakening in the last 3 years than in the 10 that preceded it.
Yeah, I would agree. It's amazing to me. I don't know, Michael, if you've been on Facebook enough today, but there's an article that a lot of people have been posting. It was in the Huffington Post by a writer named Diane Collins, and the title was, "There's a New Mainstream Out There, and You're Probably Part of It." And in the TV show I was doing today, I read a quote, and I think I'll read that here, because to me, this gave me just chills of excitement to think that this is really happening on this planet. And here's the quote. "The new mainstream craves conscious conversations beyond political diatribes, fear-based marketing, glamorization of disease and drugs, religious hypocrisy, and limited either or silo views posing as thinking. The new mainstream desires a more profound, authentic connection to life, an acknowledgement of our literal interconnectedness, economic interdependence, and spiritual interrelatedness." And, I mean, literally, that is what the highest hope was, I think, for this Uranus-Pluto square. And this is coming from a mainstream person. She's not particularly
She's not one of us. She's not, she's not wearing, you know, her beads.
Yeah. And she said, you know, this is over 300 interviews, that radio shows and things that she's guested on. And seeing the topics that are coming up and the reaction that people are having to them, and it transcended party affiliation, religious affiliation, you know, irregardless of what we see on the news, which tends to show the polarizing effects of being a Democrat or a Republican or a Christian or a Muslim and that kind of thing. And I applaud this woman for writing this article, and I can't wait to see if I can get her on as a for an interview.
Get her on that show. That's a beautiful quote. And one could make a case that it's all terrible and everything's falling apart and why bother? And they'd certainly be right. But I don't care,
well,
if there's enough evidence out there to latch on to that doesn't interest me. Why? Because I believe in the power of peace. I believe in the power of love. I believe in the power of having a private, personal, spiritual practice that I share with a community. And I commit myself to doing that in every way that I can, every day that I can. And, what if I'm wrong and what if those people are right? I still don't care because I enjoy it. It's like this is what gives me pleasure. To live my life through the beliefs that I stand on. So it ultimately doesn't matter about being right or wrong. What matters is what I'm committed to and what brings me joy, pleasure, and peace, which is being of service to others by helping them understand the value of facing the shadow and the change and the clunkiness that happens when life falls apart and the structures go out from under you and then you rebuild brick by brick. And you survive, and it's amazing.
Well, and frankly, we are attracting to us the things that we are thinking about or that we're resonating to. So if you're resonating to peace and so forth, that's what you're going to begin seeing more and more of in the world. If you're someone who's a doomsdayer and feel like something bad is going to happen and you're always preparing for the worst, then, of course, that's what you're attracting to you as well. It feels like that would create a split of sorts in the world, but I think what it does is shows us how powerful we are as creators, that we can see the world in any number of ways, and that what we really desire is what we're going to start seeing out there, if that's how we hold ourselves in consciousness.
I have great hope and excitement for what's possible. One of the things that is a dead ringer for what can happen when Pluto, slow change, and Uranus, fast change, get into the angle of change, the 90 degrees, look at the gay rights, marriage equality movement, because in early 2012, it was struggling. And in the middle of 2012, when these squares started, is when the acceleration began. And we have never seen in history, on our planet, minds changing so rapidly as the perspective of gay rights has shifted globally and certainly in the United States. I believe that this is possible in all areas of consciousness and expansion and peace and unity, not just rights for this group or that group, but that doing the right thing and creating all people as equal is possible to accelerate in changing minds, and then the generations that get born into that landscape breed another generation where these thoughts and ideas of constriction, separation, lack, and limitation are just unheard of. And so I have great faith about the generation to come and the generation after that. Long after I'm gone, I have great faith about what our children's children's children will create.
Yeah, me too. You know, what I find really interesting is the woman I was interviewing earlier today, she was talking about even someone walking down a sidewalk that picks up a gum wrapper would be called an environmentalist. I mean, because why did you do that? So it just shows that the littlest thing that we each can do can have an impact on the bigger whole, because, you know, we're not living in a vacuum. So one of the things that I often come up against, and it's that feeling of powerlessness in the face of some of the huge things that would have to shift in order for our world to be peaceful, to have every child.
The person who wouldn't pick up the wrapper because they'd say, why bother? There's too much pollution. Why should I bother?
Yeah.
But that's your little universe to clean up right in that moment.
And that's my point, is we all have this special place that we occupy on this planet, with people around us at every minute, you know, our family members, our friends, our colleagues, our coworkers, our neighbors, and how we are in any given moment in the world is how we have the ability to change the world. And I didn't see that really. I mean, I've seen that over and over again, or heard that over and over again from various teachers and so forth. But I think it just really hit home to me today that I can walk through the grocery store and smile at everyone I meet and have just as big of an impact as the U.S. Congress changing the laws to reflect gay rights as a right.
Correct. Correct.
And it's amazing. I'm one person. Yeah. So people don't get into that I can't help or I can't do anything, because your very presence on the planet at this time gives you the power to change something, make the world a more beautiful place or a more peaceful place, and it begins with you. I think I got my soapbox out for a minute. I'm so sorry.
Yes, indeed. We both have. I got to tell you, I mean, who knew what we would be talking about? But clearly,
who knew?
We're talking about you.
Well, I know we came here to talk about Uranus and Pluto, and yet what's coming next, right? Because I think part of what you and I were just going through is maybe the Saturn squaring Neptune, which is what I think of as the next big thing coming along, at least for parts of 2015 and most of 2016, because, you know, you're looking at how do we make peace with the structures that we have, how do we make the things, how do we take the best from the past and take the best of what's potential and bring them together to form something new. So that's my two cents on this. That I think that's the next
big thing. I think you're absolutely right. I think you nailed it. That the next big thing is the Saturn Neptune square, which is made even stronger by the fact that Saturn just changed signs and he moved out
of
Mercury Scorpio. Love this. 3 years of Pluto. Oh my God, I'm getting all mixed up. 3 years of Saturn. The responsibility guy saying, are you being responsible to this? This in Scorpio being the inner shifts and changes. So when Pluto and Uranus are busy squaring each other, change, 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 Saturn is saying, do it on the inside. Work on the inside. Work on the Scorponian, that's a word, inner cauldron of how you experience your consciousness on the inside of you. That is not the case with Saturn in Sagittarius. It is about face and get out the door. Saturn in Sagittarius says, now go be transparent in the world. The time where you could hide behind the scenes and do the shifts and changing in a private way, i.e. Scorpio, are gone. Now it's get out in the world, Sagittarius, and show the world what you're made of and stand in your truth. And a square with Neptune, the opportunity is Neptune gives us connection with the divine mind, the higher octave of love. All of the high vibration of Neptune is bringing spirit into the story. And so if Saturn says, how are you going to structure this? Neptune says, bring spirit into it and all will be well. Now, of course, the challenge with Saturn.
And Neptune's in its own sign, so it has a lot of power right now.
Correct.
You know,
enormous power, yeah. Which I think is bodes well for the lower end of the continuum, because Neptune also encourages people towards escapism and addiction and all of the lower vibrations that can come with that energy. And Saturn squaring that will bring a lot of challenge to people who are still leaning toward escapism as the way to deal with their fears and limitations. And that's, you know, it was just, my heart is filled with compassion for that journey, but this is definitely going to be a moment of reckoning for Saturn kicking your butt if you're picking up the wrong god to pray to.
Well, and I think, you know, what it really bodes well for, and this is just another personal opinion, is that I think that our society begins to take a look at sort of the lower, that underbelly, maybe let's call it the mental illnesses, the diseases of drug addiction and alcoholism in a new way. They start to address it in a different way, as opposed to just throwing crap at symptoms. Maybe we take a look at what the real cause is. And so there's a lot of hope, I think, in this very next, this transit that's picking up where Uranus Pluto, where the revolutionary ends. I think we begin the softening of now how do we work with each other in a much more peaceful manner? How do we look at things before that we've not looked at? You know, that component of the shame, you know, it was a shame to be gay, you know, and you had to hide that. But now, you know, the next big thing is it's a shame to be mentally ill. And how do we bring that out of the closet? How do we bring things like dementia up in a conversation and do something about it? You know, heal it. And
yes.
So I think that's our next big thing that we're going to be seeing, how that shifts through our societies. So, okay. Let's do this. We have 16 minutes. I cannot believe that left. And I know we want to do a couple of readings with people.
Sure.
So
sure.
I am going to, let's see, Steve, do we have Amy out there? Or, no, Lisa was first. Let's bring Lisa on. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. So,
yeah?
Yeah. I'm delighted to hear it.
I'm enjoying listening to the show, and it's all 100% pertinent to my life.
You know,
and
you've got.
I actually sent Michael your chart, and then I promptly closed out your chart. So, Michael, I'm going to let you start looking at what's going on in her chart while I pull it back up.
Well, the thing that's fascinating to me about your chart right now, Lisa, is that anytime I do a session right now, I'm looking for the number 15, because that's the degree point that the Pluto and Uranus square is going to finish up at. Pluto at 15 degrees of Capricorn and Uranus at 15 degrees of Aries. Your Chiron is at 15 degrees of Pisces. Chiron is the wounded healer. And so you're undergoing right now what's called a Chiron return. That means Chiron is back at 15 degrees of Pisces right now, which means there's an opportunity to really close out a lifetime of healing childhood wounds, of healing deep personal experiences of woundedness. And
it's
you're
totally
being
been happening.
Honey, there it is. And Pluto is sextiling your Chiron right now and all year long. That's a 60-degree angle. And a 60-degree angle is the angle of productivity and creativity. You are right smack dab in the middle, and Pluto's in your third house of communication. You have never been in a better place to speak about your truth about what's been a wounding and transform and heal it. You also have the great benefit of both your Mars and your Venus, so your body and your heart are both in the sign of Leo, and that's where Jupiter is. Jupiter is expansion and abundance. And so while all of this deep healing and sort of profound speaking into your deep, dark truth, you've got the planet that brings a sense of life as a yummy, expansive place to be is hitting you at the level of the heart and of the body. And that's a yummy experience. I'm glad to hear that feels. Does this feel like it resonates for you?
Yes, it's feeling very yummy. But the whole part about speaking up, the whole part about kind of feeling like I'm called to speak up, called to maybe teach, called to maybe guide. The person that I am today looks nothing like the person that I was even 6 months ago.
Wow.
I'm trying to develop a comfort level with this new me. And so trying to identify that, trying to validate that in myself, that's where I don't have a comfort level, and I guess that's where I'm looking for guidance and assurance.
You have an interesting setup. I would call you a teacher. You've got Saturn, who's the teacher archetype, at the 30th degree, which is a degree of mastery, of Aquarius, which is the helping the community sign. That's a teacher placement. You also have it in such a way that our friend Saturn cosmically is going to square your Saturn three times this year. He's already done it the first time. He did it in December. He'll do it again in the spring and then again in the fall. So that means three times right now you're in a confrontation of your purpose, your life purpose, because that's what Saturn governs for us. So this hit you already at the very end of the year, and you're in it for another, year of considering what your purpose is. And I think that any opportunity that you have to speak up, because your dharma, your destiny is in the sign of Gemini, so is your moon, so that there's a sense of using your voice has got to be part of why you're here. And with Pluto in your third house of communication, I would just, since this is a 30-second reading, the advice would be speak up and speak loud.
Okay.
And added to that, the transiting destiny just crossed her ascendant. So that's also a new beginning, pushing you
that's
in a new
right.
direction.
That's right.
Calling
new
you
beginning.
To be who you were meant to be. So everything is lined up for you to do exactly what Michael was just telling you. So get out there, girl.
Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome, Lisa. Thanks so much for calling us today. And let's see here. We have next Debbie. I have to scroll through until I can find her here.
Good evening.
There you are. There you are, Debbie. How are you?
Hi, Michael. Hello.
We're asking
Hi,
how you
Debbie,
are, sweetie.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. I was saying good evening to both of you. I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Good. You know, I sort of struck by the fact that in 2 years' time, I know that's not the now kind of reading, but your dharma, your destiny point is at 17 degrees of Capricorn. That means that Pluto's going to be crossing your destiny point in 2 years. That's a very powerful and intense transit that is designed to sort of alchemize you into a sense of why you're here, what's your purpose, what your desires are, what kind of impact you'd like to have. And since your natal Mercury is also at 17 degrees, there's a square between your mind and your thoughts and the way you communicate and why you're here. So I'm a little more taken by wondering, what do you imagine your life to look like in 2 or 3 years' time? Because our friend Uranus, the Awakener, is going to cross your Mercury around the same time that Pluto's hitting your Dharma point. I'm wondering if you've ever thought about writing about your life experience.
It's always a possibility. I have no idea, and I'm open to anything. I always think that the future is a mystery, and I have no idea where I'm going, and I'm up for any of it. Sounds like a good idea.
Do you have Debbie's chart in front of you?
Yes, I do. And, you know, one of the things that I always think of with Debbie is that of the person that we could call a late bloomer, and that, you know, she's had a powerful life. Yes, Debbie, I don't mean to minimize that your life so far, but I think the best years, the most effective years are in front of her, and that they are, you know, coming within those couple of degrees or those couple of years. And, you know, where I see her shine in this is as a sort of guide, a counselor sort of person, even though it's not necessarily everything that I see in here. But she has this very down-to-earth way of being able to guide people. And I'm wondering then if some of the spiritual work that you're taking up, you know, doing different readings and different healing modalities, Debbie, isn't where it is that you're heading, as people really realize that, you know, they're awakening, that you're one of those guide points for people to, a touchstone, that's the word, that people can find you to be able to get through some of the things that you've already been through yourself.
One of the things that, sort of jumping right on the bandwagon of what she's just said to you, Debbie, is that unequivocally, when a planet like Pluto or Uranus crosses any point in a person's chart, that person has dramatic changes occur. And almost simultaneously, you've got a planet of change hitting your dharmic purpose, and another one hitting your Mercury, which is about the voice and the mind and speaking and communicating. And I love that you approach the idea of what's possible with such an innocent, wide-open perspective of anything. Like, anything's possible.
I'm up for anything. That sounds, and I love helping people, and whatever it is, I'm up for it. Sounds like it's going to be, I'm excited. Gives me something to really look forward to.
When we get into 2016, my suggestion would be fasten your seatbelt and just watch the ride.
Sounds like me, rock and roll. That's what I say.
Your sense of acceleration is more in the, you know, a year and a half from now.
That sounds about right, because I need to sell a house, find a new home, unpack, move in, get settled into my new life. That sounds absolutely...
Okay, there you go.
I'm very excited about it.
I love that.
Perfect timing for me, really.
It really is. And Michael, if you noticed already, Jupiter is up at her natal Pluto. It's already hit it once before it retrograded, and is going to pass over that again a couple of times. And that's in a very powerful spiritual connection for her.
Yep.
So,
and then it'll cross into her 10th house, which will show up as public expressions of her power and wisdom. So and I love that we can even build into what we see in the transits and what we know of your life, Debbie, is that there is a kind of, a lot has to be handled first, foundationally, before this movement can come, and that matches the acceleration of the transit.
And I'll also be in a number one year in numerology, which is new beginnings during that time.
Perfect.
So that's great.
Neptune, Chiron energy is down at the bottom of your chart in the foundation building place right now.
That's absolutely perfect. Wow, what
love
a great phone call this is. Thank you so very much for both of
you. You're welcome.
Oh, you're very welcome, Debbie. Thank you so much for being a listener and for tuning in tonight. Let's see, where are we in time here? We've got 5 minutes left, Michael. And so I just want to make an announcement to the people who are in the queue who might not have gotten readings today. Today wasn't necessarily a day that we were going to be able to do a lot of readings because we had a lot to talk about. But next week on my final show here on Living Astrology Radio, I will be doing readings for the whole entire show. So if you're sitting there waiting for a reading today from me, call in next week, and I've got your birth dates here, so we'll make sure we get this list and be able to take you next week and get a reading for you. And, Michael, in the minutes that we have left here, I want you to be able to tell my listeners how they can find you and what kinds of things are you into right now that they might be interested in.
You got it. Well, you can certainly find me on Facebook at Michael Lennox. I also have a page on Facebook called Perchance to Dream, and so I take all comers both on the page and on my Facebook page. You can certainly friend me or follow me there, and I try to keep up with my posts around the new moons and full moons that I make public. I do have a daily subscription series where I write every day a very comprehensive post about the day's transits. That's a subscription series. It's $8 a month, and you can find out information about that at my website, michaellennox.com. And I certainly encourage anybody to sign up for my newsletter on that homepage of the site, michaellennox.com. I do not inundate you with emails, and I don't sell my list, so it's sort of a safe thing to sign up for. You know, I'm going to be moving around the country a little bit. I'll be in Montana in June at the Feathered Pipe Ranch at their 40th anniversary retreat. So if anybody is interested in a spiritual yoga retreating, check out featheredpipe.com. I'll be there the last week in June, first week in July. And my book, Llewellyn's Comprehensive Dream Dictionary, comes out in May. So look for that everywhere. Netbooks are sold.
Yay. And so, again, let me repeat for those of you who did not get readings but still would like them, make sure if you didn't get your birth information into the producer today, please email me at janet@living-astrology.com with your birth date, your birth time, and your birthplace, and, of course, your name, because I like to know your name, and call in next week for a reading. Michael, what final words can you give for us as far as what's going on? What can we expect? What is your dream of what the Uranus-Pluto square will bring us?
Well, you know, I think the biggest message I think I can have about any sort of moment is, you know, it's never been more important to have a daily, private, personal, spiritual practice. And it doesn't mean you've got to become some crazy guru. It can be 2 minutes of putting your hand on your chest and one on your belly and taking a deep breath and looking at the sky. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as every day you take a moment to remind yourself of the greater parts of you beyond your chattering mind.
Yeah, and I would echo that same sentiment, and I would add, live in joy. You know, no matter what is going on around you, find joy. I'm sitting here with 1.5 minutes left till all my grandchildren are going to descend upon me here. That is my joy. Some people, it's nature. It's get outside, enjoy the grass, the trees, the flowers, the blooms, whatever it is that makes you happy. Get out there and enjoy that, and, you know, kind of unplug from some of the chaos that you are hearing about or even seeing perhaps in your own life or in the world. I don't mean to minimize other people's stresses and traumas and dramas. It's not that at all. It's that we were never designed to not have joy in our lives. So do whatever it is that you can to at least experience joy in some way every day. It makes a huge difference. I want to thank my guest, Michael Lennox. I absolutely love you, and I'm so glad that I found you somehow. I think my friends, my producer connected us somehow. And Michael is going to be joining me on February 12th on Living Astrology, no, at Empower You Media TV show, as we're talking about the Divine Feminine and the Divine Masculine. So look for information coming out shortly on that. And for everyone else, have a stellar week.
Thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology. You can reach Janet for readings or astrological advice at www.living-astrology.com or by email at janet@living-astrology.com. Would you like to host your own weekly radio show? If so, contact us at empoweruradio@gmail.com. Or if you would like to be considered as a guest or would like to recommend a guest, email us at empoweruradio@gmail.com. Goodbye for now and have a stellar week.